Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk, Shabbos Pashas Noach, the 4th of Mar Cheshvan of the year Tavshin Nun Beis, corresponding to 1991. Discusses the fact that the end of the month of Tishrei, which is the first month of the year, which is almost entirely a month in which we have festivals, at that end we have the Shabbos of Parshas Bereishis. And the next Shabbos, right after that, is the Parsha of Noach. Now, there's a famous saying concerning the Parsha of Bereishis, that the way we conduct ourselves during this Shabbos of Bereishis, that's how it affects the entire year. And the reason for that is because in the month of Tishrei, we have the conclusion of a very spiritually uplifting month, because we have all the festivals in this month, and we commence with the service of God on a day-to-day fashion, which is characteristic of the way things are all year round. We work within the parameters of the world, which is of course distinct from the period of the month of Tishrei, when we serve God in a state of upliftedness. We're above and beyond the fray of the physical world. Now we know that Shabbos is the day in which all the days of the next week are blessed. So from this Shabbos, we bless all the days of the first week in which we are involved in the world, as it were. And it includes all the days of the week of the entire year that follows, because these 7 days of the entire year are the same 7 days of this month, because the 7 days of the week represent a cycle, and every week the cycle begins anew. It's the very same cycle. That's why every day of the week we talk about how this is the first day of the week, the second day of the week, even though so many weeks have passed by, because each week represents a repetition of the week before. Consistent with this premise, we must therefore recognize that the Shabbos in which we read Noach, the Parsha of Noach, which comes at the end of the first week in which we have a full week of working within the parameters of the world, that marks the first Shabbos that concludes that cycle of within the world, our service within the parameters of the world. Shabbos Bereishis contains, because it's the Shabbos that blesses the next days, contains the potential for the way we serve God in the weekdays. Shabbos Bereishis gives us the potential for that, where Shabbos, in which we read the Parsha of Noach, is what represents the actualization of that potential. Therefore, the name of the Parshas Noach is consistent with the theme of the Shabbos, because the first week in which we work and serve God within the framework of the world is a preparation for all the days of the week of the entire year. So in this Shabbos, in which we read Parshas Noach, we underscore the concept of Shabbos, which contains within it the actualization of the weekdays. And that is the very meaning of the word Noach. Noach comes from the word menucha, rest, easing. That the function of Shabbos is vayishbais b'yom ha'shvi, and he rested on the seventh day. And the translation in Aramaic of the words vayishbais is v'nach, same root as the word Noach. Now the connection between Shabbos Bereishis and Shabbos Noach, and the difference between them, one is potential, one is actualization, we also can find in the very content of these two parshas. Parshas Bereishis talks about creation. Parshas Noach, we have the promise that the world will always survive and will endure, that came after the flood. As it says, Oid kol yemei ha'aretz lo yishbeisu, the days of the earth will not cease. There will continue to be a world. Parshas Bereishis, we talk about the way the world endures in consonance with God's original intent. It's not its own perfection, which would be parallel to what we do within the framework of the world, but it's the perfection of the world from the vantage point of the Creator, God's vantage point, the vantage point of the potential that God puts into the world. That corresponds and parallels what we do in the month of Tishrei, where we're not really working within the world, we're working from a higher perch. But what does this mean? That when the world conducts itself in consonance with God's will, then it has a right to exist. But when it declines, then it no longer has a right to exist. That's Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis talks about the ideal when things conform to God's will and the perfection that that entails. Conversely, Parsha of Noach talks about how the world reaches perfection from the perspective of the actual state of the world, its potential, its ability, not just potential, but its ability to rise and return even when it was in a very negative state, absolutely negative, it could bounce back. And that is through the process of tshuva. On the contrary, when the world is in its own frame of mind, when it's in a very declining state of being in a spiritual sense, when it reaches the very abyss, the bottom, lower than which there is nothing that can be considered lower, that provides us with a new dimension, a new state of refinement. As our sages tell us about Noah, after he left the ark, Olam Chadashra, he saw a new world. A new world means a world that has a new state of perfection. There's another way in which the differences between the two parashas of Bereishis and Noach is dramatized. We know that the name Elohim, the godly name Elohim, has the same numerical value as the word Hateva, nature. And what it means is that this is the godly energy that is connected to the world. As it says in the very first pasuk, the first verse, Bereishis bara Elohim, that's the Shemayim Besaretz. In the beginning, Elohim created heaven and earth. That's the godly force within nature. Name Havaya, the essential name of God, known as the Tetragrammaton, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that represents God's transcendence, where he's above and beyond the world and worldly matters. Now, the truth is that the world's creation has to come about through the name Havaya. The word Havaya comes from the word that which puts things into existence, because the only way you can have a physical world out of nothing can only come from an infinite force of God. But this force of God that comes from Havaya has to go through and is contained within and cloaked, as it were, in the name Elohim, which limits and conceals the powerful energy of the name Havaya. So what we see is that when we look at creation, we don't see the Havaya aspect of the divine, we see the Elohim aspect of the divine. Now when we go back to Parshas Bereishis, it talks about, as we said before, the perfection of the world from the vantage point of God's creation, without consideration to the world's own internal ability to perfect itself through its efforts, through its avoda, through its service. Now, the truth is that when you work within the parameters of the world, it creates a higher level, a more exalted level, because only when you work within the parameters of the world, within the confining atmosphere of the world, within the concealment of the world, then you can reveal the name Havaya in this world. That is very different from the way the world is from the vantage point of its original creation, because when you see a world in the creative state, you don't see the name Havaya. You only see the name Elohim, and Elohim represents Tzimtzum, contraction, and Hester, and concealment, not the name Havaya. In other words, when you look at the world from the vantage point of it being created, it can only express a lower level of the divine that is within range of the world. But when you refine the world, you take the lowliness of the world and you refine it and elevate it, the world becomes receptive, becomes a vessel to the aspect of God that transcends the world itself. That's why the Parsha Bereishis, in which we talk about the world's perfection before we do anything to change the world, that only underscores the name Elohim. As it says, Bereishis bara Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created heaven and earth. Same thing when it talks about the name Havaya. Later on in Bereishis, it says, in the day, B'yayim aseis Havaya Elohim eretz b'shamayim, the day that Havaya Elohim made earth and heaven. So it does mention Havaya, but it only mentions Havaya together with the name Elohim. It means Havaya as its channel through Elohim. When what is revealed to the world is only the name Elohim. We don't see the Havaya in that revelation. Now let's contrast that with the Parsha of Noach. Parsha of Noach underscores and highlights the perfection of the world from the parameters of the world itself. That even in the world, you can have the name Havaya revealed. That means you could see, you can discern how the world, which comes from Elohim, which limits and contracts, that the truth is that that Elohim is not really any different from Havaya. As it says, Havaya hu Elohim. That Havaya is Elohim. What does that mean? It means that what appears to be Elohim, a natural, confined aspect of the divine, in truth, it is not a concealment. It is Havaya. It is above and beyond the world. Now this premise can be found and is expressed in two different ways in this parsha. Number one, when God makes a promise to keep the world in existence, that it will never cease, as explained in Chassidus, that the fact that you see all the heavenly hosts, that they never change, they never are interrupted, that is manifestation of the infinite power of God. Because when you look at the world from the vantage point of being a creation, there has to be changes. And the fact that there are creations, the celestial bodies that never change and never cease and never interrupted, that's because they reflect the infinite aspect of God, of the Creator that is within the creation. And that is one way in which we see Havaya in this world. So when God promises there will never be any change, that is a manifestation of the infinite aspect of God. That's one place where you see the Havaya being revealed. The second thing is the rainbow, which is a sign that God will keep the world in existence. The rainbow is caused when the rays of the sun are reflected through the clouds. That is a symbolism of the way the physicality of the world is refined through the name Havaya, because the cloud, which comes from the earth, as it says in the Torah, a cloud would arise from the earth, and when that becomes refined to the point where you could see the rays of the sun, which are an analogy for the name Havaya, as it says in the book of Psalms, Shemesh Havaya, that Havaya is like the sun, the powerful rays of the sun. So therefore, when the powerful rays of the sun are reflected through and in the clouds, then that is expression of Havaya coming into this world. That's why, what is the sign for the world's endurance? It's the rainbow, because the rainbow describes how the physical world can reflect the name Havaya, which is the power through which the world is created, but it's usually concealed. But the rainbow reveals that and puts it into the open. Now these two matters are really connected, because the fact that the world endures forever, which is the sign that we have the infinite power of God in this world, is represented and symbolized by the rainbow, which is also Havaya being reflected through the clouds. Now, when you finish with the work and the efforts that are described and alluded to in the Parsha of Noach, we come to the next Parsha, which is Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means go. It's the idea of constant movement and elevation from level to level, one level to a higher level, to the point that by our involvement in this physical world, which is Parshas Noach, we reveal the true quality and nature of the world that comes from the name Havaya. And that gives us the power, propelling us to be able to travel, to keep on going, to never stay in one place, that even in the levels of godliness, as it were, we could reveal that the Elohim, which is connected to the world, is truly Havaya, which is above the world. There's something else about this Parsha of Noach. And from this we could see the idea of how Havaya, the name Havaya, is revealed in the name of Elohim. And that's the accounting, the Cheshbon Tzedek, the just accounting that is appropriate for this Shabbos, because this Shabbos is the sum total of the first week. It's the conclusion of the first week in which we were involved in worldly matters, in serving God through worldly and within the context of worldly matters. The idea over here is, when you do tshuva, when a person returns to God, in general terms, there are two ways that can happen. Number one, since the whole idea of tshuva is to correct the things that were not proper in actual deed, especially when we're talking about things that relate to our relationships with one another, bein adam lechaveray, and if you ask for forgiveness, the condition is that the friend, the person you affronted, has to forgive you. So how do you correct certain things? When the person does tshuva in the normal way, he's in a certain limited state of mind compared to the things that he has to correct. There's a certain limit. Conversely, there's a way of tshuva in which you rise above the fray. You're totally absorbed within this world of Torah and tefillah of prayer. You elevate yourself to a much higher level, and all the negative things fall apart without having to deal with it. In other words, the first approach is you have to get into the trenches, so to speak, and talk about your mistake and ask for forgiveness. So there's a lot of involvement, whereas the second level is where you rise above the negativity. Now, even though the second approach is a higher approach, but it has something that is lacking, because you're not involved with the details, and therefore the perfection is also lacking. And therefore, you have to have both directions. You have to incorporate both approaches. You have to have an accounting where you can rise above the fray, go to a higher level. At the same time, you're able to get into the nitty-gritty of the things that you have to correct. That's analogous to the idea of taking the name Havaya, which is above the world, and introducing it and inserting it into the physical world, which is what Noach is all about. And when you do tshuva, when you return in this manner, then it's a tshuva that is done with great joy and pleasure, and not bitterness, not sadness. Because the person recognizes how he's elevating himself to a much higher level, and he doesn't feel the engagement with the negative things. And this is especially connected to the whole day of Shabbos. What is Shabbos? It's when the name Havaya is revealed in Elokim, as explained in Chassidus, that the verse of the parsha that we read last week in Bereishis, Vayechal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi, which literally means God concluded or completed on the seventh day. But Chassidus explains that the word Vayechal means that there was a conclusion and the evaporation, you could say, of the concealment of Elokim in this world, the name Elokim, which is in control in the 6 days of the week, and instead we have the name Havaya, the level of Havaya, brought into the world. So Vayechal Elokim doesn't mean that God finished, but that the Elokim was finished, that the limits of Elokim come to an end on Shabbos. Secondly, Shabbos is a time that is called Tshuva Ilah, the higher level of Tshuva. The word Shabbos itself has the letters of the word Tashav, return. But it's the level of Tshuva that you do with Simcha, with joy, because you're elevated to a much higher level. And all the defects, all the problems, all the negativity dissipates of its own accord. By studying Torah in a manner that your whole being is covered up with the Torah, you're immersed in the Torah, which is analogous to the way things will be in the future, when the whole world will be deluged with godly knowledge, kemayim l'yam achasim, like the waters that cover the seabed. So Shabbos is a taste of the future. It's a day that is analogous to the future, which will be entirely a day of rest. Especially this Shabbos, Parshas Noach, as we said before, that this is the tshuva that is done with simcha, especially in Parshas Noach. The idea of simcha is emphasized because we're coming from the month of Tishrei, which has so many festivals, a month in which we don't say Tachnun, the supplication asking forgiveness for sin, so that even in the beginning of the month of Cheshvan, we can still feel the residual effect and inspiration of the holidays. Now this year, the year in which the Rebbe's talk was given, which was Tavshinun Beis, what is the accounting? What's the primary accounting that we should make? What's the theme about which we should make an accounting? It's about the future redemption. Because even in the days of the previous Rebbe, whom the Rebbe referred to as my father-in-law, the previous Rebbe already announced that we've already reached the point where we finished as a people all of our service that is necessary to bring the redemption. We even polished the buttons, which is the analogy that the previous Rebbe gave to the process that brings to redemption. It's like a uniform, and when the uniform is being sewn and made a full uniform, the last thing you need to do is put the buttons on and then polish the buttons. The Rebbe says we've already accomplished that, so the redemption has to come immediately. And the fact that we're not all perfect, we feel that we're imperfect. How could we say that we're already completed everything, we're perfect? So the Rebbe says that's true, we're not perfect in specific areas, in individual areas, and certainly that we have to correct them. But it doesn't affect and detract from the perfection of the Jewish people, of the entire structure of the Jewish people, which is something that incorporates all of the Jewish people of all generations, that we are ready for the redemption. And therefore, even though we still have individual things that we have to perfect, those things that we perfect, we do it in a mood of joy, and it comes easy because we know that as a general rule, we're in good spiritual health, and we're just one moment before the redemption. Therefore, when so many years have passed by since the previous Rebbe made that announcement, and we're already in the year Tavshinun Beis, which is an acronym for the phrase Hayay Tihei Shnas Nefarz Bakol, it will indeed be a year of wonders in every respect, and we already passed the beginning of the year, the month of Tishrei, and we're in the Shabbos that symbolizes the perfection of working within the parameters of the world, which underscores and is related to the whole theme of Shabbos, which is connected to redemption. And in Mincha, we're going to read, Lech Lecha HaLaaretz Asher Areka, go unto you to the land that I will show you. That means we're going out of exile, and we're going towards Geula. So therefore, the Rebbe says, Ein HaDavar Tolei Ela B'Mashiach Tzidkenu Atzmei. The only thing, it all depends on Mashiach, a righteous Mashiach himself. In other words, we've done everything, and now it's in the hands of Mashiach. Now, the Rebbe then, after explaining this whole thing about Parshat of Noach, talks about one particular area in which we should perfect, in terms of a practical application of the above, that the Geula, we said we have to make the accounting that the redemption has to come immediately, and it only depends on Mashiach. There's something that we can do practically as well. It's to increase our observance and of Kiddush Levana, of sanctification of the new moon, and do it with greater beauty and excellence. Our sages tell us that whoever blesses the new moon, the new month in its time, it's as if he has received and greeted the face of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence. And what is the meaning of that? In the time of Golos, we don't see the Shekhinah. The face of the Shekhinah is hidden from us. But when we see the new moon, after it has been concealed, that's a symbol, that's a metaphor for the Jewish people who are compared to the moon, that they will also be renewed just like the moon, and they will merit to receive and greet the face of the Shekhinah and to be connected to the Almighty. And therefore, in the Kiddush Levana prayer, we mention the phrase, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, David, the King of Israel, lives and endures. That means King David's sovereignty, his role as king, is compared to the moon, and it will be renewed, because Mashiach is a descendant of King David. And in the terminology of Kabbalah and Chassidus, there's a connection between the renewal of the moon and redemption as follows. The attribute of Malchus, that's the divine attribute of Malchus, of kingship, is compared to the moon, because the moon has no light of its own. All of its light comes from the sun that it reflects. The same way, the attribute of Malchus, which is the 10th and lowest of the 10 attributes, has no energy and light of its own. It receives everything from the upper divine attributes. And that's why it says, Kishemesh Himogein Havaya Elikim, that the sun and the sheath of the sun is compared to Havaya, the two names of God, Havaya and Elikim. Just like the sun that gives light to the moon, so too, the name Havaya will give light to the name Elikim, to Malchus. Accordingly, the light of the moon, with all of its changes, vicissitudes, the ups and downs, the waxing and waning, that represents the level of shame, the name of Havaya coming into the name Elikim. And when you see the light of the moon waning, that refers to the process in which the moon is not receiving as much light from the sun, and spiritually speaking, that means that there's something lacking in the introduction of the name Havaya into the name Elikim. But when the moon's light starts to wax and increase, that indicates that it's receiving more of that divine light of Havaya. In the future, we'll merit to see how the moon will no longer wane. The moon's light will be just like the sun, as we say in the Kiddush Levana prayer. So that represents there'll be a complete unification of the name Havaya and the name Elikim. They will see the concept of Havaya, Hu Elikim, in its fullest expression. Now, the time of exile is compared to the period in which the moon is in a state of waning. It declines. And through our efforts, we reach the point where the moon is renewed, the true and complete redemption, when the ultimate result will be that this world, even though it was created by God's tzimtzum, his contraction, will see the name Havaya, the essential name of God, fully revealed. And in practical terms, the Rebbe says there should be special emphasis and conscientiousness about Kiddush Levana. We should wear proper clothing, should be in the street with a multitude of people. We should be careful about doing it in the right time. There are various customs. Every place has to follow its custom and its needs. In terms of the weather, we have to know when to do it so we can see the moon. The main thing is that it should be done with a special intent to hasten the redemption by increasing our request and our demand, as we say at the end of the Kiddush Levana, sanctification of the moon prayer, Ubikshu as Havaya Lekehem. They sought, they demanded God, their God, Vis David Malcolm, and their King David, which refers to Mashiach, and we end with the words Amen. Now, synopsis of the synopsis, in the Parsha of Noach and Bereishis, there's something that they have in common, that they're both general Parshas. Parsha Bereishis is the beginning of the first week in which we really are involved in the world. Same thing, Parshas Noach concludes that first week. So that's the test, the acid test, about the state of a person, how he will be in the forthcoming weeks, how he translated the inspiration of the month of Tishrei in actuality. On the other hand, Parshas Noach has an advantage, and a very clear advantage, over Parshas Bereishis. Because while Parshas Bereishis underscores the creation of the world through the name Elohim, which is the name of God that is associated with the world, the Parsha of Noach emphasizes how the world can endure eternally, even after the flood, because that represents the infinite name of God, which is the name Havai, coming into this world. Now, the accounting that we have to make in this Shabbos, consistent with the fact that Shabbos is the sum total of the week that just passed when we were involved with the working to serve Hashem within the parameters of the world, we have to make a much more exalted form of accounting, more than just the normal accounting. That means there are two ways of examining our behavior. One is we could examine each problem individually and to correct it. When we're involved with the problems and dealing with the individual problems, but there's a second possibility to rise above the entire fray of this world and its problems and its deficiencies. And each of these manner of approaching, correcting ourselves, there's a certain limit. When we make an accounting of the Parshas Noach, you unify the advantages of both paths. On one hand, we're correcting every little detail, which would be lacking if you just rise above the fray and you're in a higher world. But at the same time, you're doing it with great simcha because you're going to a much higher level on this Parsha of Noach. And that's what the counting has to be in this Shabbos. It has to be one that takes us above the world, but we're not oblivious to the details of the world. So we're able to do the tshuva with great simcha. And the conclusion of this accounting is that Mashiach has to be here, the redemption has to be here, and it depends only on Mashiach Tzidkenu, and take of Hamayad Mamish, imminently, literally, so the true and complete redemption has to arrive. And the Rebbe spoke about the practical application of all of the above, that there should be an increase in our conscientiousness in the Kiddush Levana, in the sanctification of the new moon, as explained before at the end of the Rebbe's talk. Now, the Rebbe said that the service of the Jewish people throughout the entire past has to, in the time of Golos, in order to reach the perfection of Geula, of redemption, which depends on our actions in the time of Golos, the Rebbe says, has been completed. These are historic words. And there is no rational explanation for the delay of redemption. Therefore, the Rebbe says, even if something is missing in some detail, in these days that the redemption has been delayed, for whatever the reason is, that's an individual thing that you have to correct and perfect. But it doesn't detract, God forbid, from the perfection of all of our deeds of the Jewish people that are ready for redemption. And therefore, the perfection and the correction of these individual problems will come with much more ease and with joy, because we know that imminently the redemption is going to be here. And the Rebbe says, when we make this honest accounting at the end of the first week of our involvement with the service of God in the world of the year Tavshin Nun Beis, the year in which there will be wonders within it, and we come to the conclusion that it depends on Mashiach himself, should manifest itself in greater care and excellence and beauty in Kiddush Levana, which represents the renewal of the moon and the Jewish people who will be renewed like the moon, which will happen with a true and complete redemption through David Malka Mashiach, as it says in the Kiddush Levana, David Malach Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Now in the Surah HaGeula, in this selection of the Rebbe's words that pertain specifically to Geula, I'll read it, and some of it we have already covered in the talk itself, but we're going to put it all together here. Special emphasis should be placed this year in all that was said previously in relation to the just accounting of Parshas Noach. The reason for a special emphasis this year can be understood from the following. My sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation, has testified that all aspects of our divine service have already been completed, including the polishing of the buttons, and we stand ready to receive our righteous Mashiach. Therefore, the goal of the just accounting performed in these days is the immediate need for the true and final redemption to come in actual reality. More specifically, even though a person recognizes his own personal deficiencies that need correction, this does not contradict, God forbid, the testimony of the leader of our generation that we have already completed the divine service and stand ready to greet our righteous Mashiach. This is because the Jewish people's collective divine service over the course of the generations required during the time of exile to bring the complete redemption, which depends on our deeds and service during the entire period of exile, has been concluded and perfected. There is absolutely no explanation or reason for the delay of the redemption. Therefore, if an individual's divine service is lacking over the course of time, that the redemption has been delayed, this is a personal matter that certainly needs to be corrected and completed, but this does not diminish, God forbid, the completion and perfection of our actions in service of the Jewish people as a whole, which stands ready for the redemption. The very fact that the collective has been perfected allows the individual to correct himself easier with joy, knowing that the true and complete redemption is coming imminently. Now, the Rebbe says, if the words said during the lifetime of my sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation, all the more so after many decades have passed, more than 40 years, when God gives you a heart to understand and eyes to see and ears to hear, this is even more true in this year, Hei Tav Shin Nun Beis, which is an acronym for, and follows and adds to that of the previous year, Hei Tav Shin Nun Aleph, a year in which I will show them wonders. And Tav Shin Nun Beis stands for, it will be a year of wonders within it, or miracles in everything, inclusive of everything. So this acronym includes all aspects of the year that will be wondrous. Additional, the letter Beis, meaning in, is a preposition that can be used in conjunction with everything. This applies primarily to the wonders of the true and final redemption. As it says, as in the days of your going forth from Egypt, I will show them wonders. Since, with absolute certainty, all of the appointed times have passed, and we've already done tshuva, now, the Rebbe says, it all depends on our righteous Mashiach himself. When we make a just accounting at the conclusion of the first week of divine service in the world, for the year of Hei Tav Shin Nun Beis, a year of wonders in all, we come to the conclusion that it all depends on our righteous Mashiach himself. This awareness expresses itself in more conscientious and enhanced way of reciting the prayer for the sanctification of the moon, as it says in the prayer, for they are destined to be renewed like her. And that will be in the true and complete redemption through David, the King Mashiach. David, the King of Israel, lives forever. More specifically, the Rebbe concludes, one should be careful and make an effort to recite the sanctification of the moon while dressed in dignified and attractive garments, in the street, and in a multitude of people, wherein is the glory of the King. This applies also in those places where people have not been conscientious about this until now, because they lived amongst non-Jews. One should also be careful in regard to the time of the sanctification of the moon, since we find different customs about this. Some people do it 3 days after the Molad, after the birth of the new moon, 7 days after the Molad, and the evening after Shabbos, Saturday night. If the night after Shabbos is before the 10th of the month, but if it is afterwards, one should not wait till after Shabbos, because there might be 2, 3, or 4 cloudy nights, and the moon won't be seen, and the time will pass. So the Rebbe is telling us to be very careful about the time. We shouldn't miss the time. This applies specifically in those countries where the sky is covered with clouds, particularly in wintertime. Each place should follow its custom and according to its situation. In places where there is a question or doubt, one should act according to the instructions of the rabbinic authority of that place. And the Rebbe concludes in the last paragraph, further, and this is the main point, the sanctification of the moon should be performed with a specific intention. This should be the intention to speed and hasten and actualize the immediate arrival of David, King Mashiach, through an increased appeal and entreaty for the redemption. As expressed in the conclusion of the sanctification of the moon, we say these words, and they will seek the Lord their God and David their king. Amen.